here on Something to Believe In, Reverend Tommy Bounce presents to you a program of encouragement and blessing with uplifting music and a life-changing message from the Word of God. And now, here's Something to Believe In with Reverend Tommy Bounce.
Well, hello and thank you for tuning my way this morning on Something to Believe In. We come on your homes each Sunday morning by the means of radio, in your automobiles, convalescent places, the penitentiary, wherever you are, to tell you, yes, there is something to believe in, and that something is Jesus Christ. What if he's in this world and had nothing at all to believe in? Well, we're glad that we can present a message to you that is hopeful, helpful, and strength to your spiritual and physical body. So let's get into our broadcast this morning by doing this song. This is an old one, but I hope you enjoy it. This is an old one that says, Father alone will know all about it.
Tempted and tried, we're all made to wonder why it should be. All the day long, while there are others living about us, never molested, no.
Place where God will make everything clear. He'll dry all the tears from our eyes. He will explain to us everything that's happened. Well, I don't know. Let me retract that. I don't believe the former things are going to disappear. I don't think there'll be any thoughts of what's happening here in this world. I think we're going to move into a heavenly place where there'll be no cares, no sorrows. He said, we'll wipe every tear from our eye. There'll be no memory of the sad part. The only thing we'll have is nothing but good things. So we're glad for that this morning. We're glad to know that we're on our way to heaven and the journey is getting sweeter every day. Aren't you glad for that? I'll tell you, it's good to have that hope and that assurance. Let's go back now and let Martha do this song for us right here. And this one said, it sure sounds like angels to me.
Oh, I must be close to that heavenly shore. And the sounds that I hear coming from heaven's door. Lately I hear a sweet melody, and it sure sounds like angels to me.
And it sure
angels to me. To hear that beautiful song, Martha done a great job on that song. She let me help her, and I appreciate that. We thank you this morning. We're so glad that you've helped us to maintain the broadcast, to keep it going out across the airway. A lot of people really enjoy the broadcast. Some people can't afford, and in this day and time, I'll tell you, it's hard, and it seems like it's getting harder. The oppression is hard. And the pain, the heartaches, and everything keeps coming our way and coming your way, of course, also. But we're so glad today that you're able to help us to maintain the broadcast. Let's go right back now and do this song for you. And this one said, there will be peace in the valley for me. We can have peace one day when the Lamb shall lay down by the line.
Well, I'm so tired and so weary, but I must go along till the Lord shall come and call me away, oh yes. Well, the morning is bright, and the Lamb is the light, and the night is as fair as the day. There will be peace in the valley for me someday. There will be peace in the valley for me, oh Lord, I pray. There'll be no sadness, no sorrow, no trouble I see. There will be peace, peace in the valley for me. Well, the bear, he will be gentle, and the wolf, he shall be tame. And the lion he shall lay down by the Lamb, oh yes. Then the beast from the wild shall be led by the child. I will be changed, Lord, change of the creature that I am, oh. And there will be peace in the valley for me someday. There will be peace in the valley for me, oh Lord, I pray. There'll be no sadness, no sorrow, no trouble I see. There will be peace, peace in the valley for me.
I'll tell you, that's going to be a day, but there will be a time when there will be peace, peace in the valley for us. I remember Red Foley wrote that song many years ago. Red Foley wrote the song, he sang the song, walked off the stage, and had a heart attack and died. So he did find peace in the valley for him. Well, we're going to go to a message right now. A lot of the messages we have this time are on tape, and I think that's well. I think you enjoy those. And we're going to go right now and talk about religion, and we're going to talk about God's righteousness. So you give it a listen to.
I will be only reading in Romans chapter 2, verse 17, down through verse 19. But I would rather that you would read the Scripture, and maybe you're shut in, maybe you cannot read the Bible, but I'd like for you to have someone to read it to you, because you can't receive the message without reading the Word of God. Today, our message would be our religion, but God's righteousness. Reading now in chapter 2 of Romans, verse 17. Behold, thou art called a Jew, and retest in the law, and makest thy boast of God, and knoweth his will, and approvest the things that more excellent, being instructed out of the law, and art confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light to them which are in darkness. You see, the message is this, that the Jews, and I'd like to also implicate many people, are blinded by the Jewish religion. And today, we are also blinded by religion. I had a friend of mine, and please do not be offended by what I'm about to say. I had a friend of mine who said, Brother Tommy, do you not believe in eternal security? I said, yes, sir, I do. Do you believe, Brother Tommy, that a man can lose his religion? I said, sir, I believe that anybody can be religious. But I said, now, if you want to speak about the plan of salvation, then that's a different story. And today, many people are blinded by religion. The Jew was blinded by religion. Notice, they were blinded by their own self-righteousness. Chapter 2 and verse 17 says that they were blinded because of their own righteousness. And then they felt superior in their relationship with God. They felt that just because they were a Jew, that they were exempted from all of the other duties of God. They felt superior in their revelation in verse 18. They boasted that they knew God's will in verse 18. But you see, in Isaiah 64 and 6, said all of our righteousness is as filthy rags. In Matthew 5 and 20, Jesus said, except your righteousness exceed that of the scribes, ye shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. You see, there's a thing called self-righteousness. I believe in eternal security. I believe in a God that is able to keep that which Paul said has been committed unto him. But you see, sir, ma'am, we are blinded by religion because religion cannot be committed to God. Religion can be anything. Shaking a cow's tail out in the middle of the field does not mean that I become a farmer. But you see, I'm not ridiculing and criticizing religion. I believe that there are great religious orders in our nation. I believe that our nation should always be called a religious nation. A religious nation, at least, is that nation that least recognizes God. I believe in a religious order. I believe that there should be order. I do not rule out religion because there are many other religious orders. But any religion that denies the blood of Jesus Christ is no more than a religious order. I do not recommend that you get religion. I recommend that you get old-time salvation, because religion can come anyway. But salvation only comes through and by the blood of Jesus Christ. If we open our mouth and confess with our mouth and believe in our heart, the Bible said that we shall be saved. But then again, what about our righteousness? You see, our own self-righteousness will not allow us to be wrong. Because, you see, the Bible said our righteousness is as filthy rags. I remember a story about two gentlemen in a church. These two gentlemen wanted to buy a communion table. And one said, I'll buy the communion table. The other said, no, I'll buy the communion table. They were only wanting recognition from the congregation. They wanted to do something within themselves to please God and please the congregation. They wanted to be looked up to. So one day, one of the men slipped out. He bought a communion table. He placed it in the church. The pastor got up and he openly commended this gentleman for buying the communion table. The other gentleman stood up and said, men of the church, I have no problem with him buying the communion table. But look at what he wrote on it. Do this always in remembrance of me. So you see, there's that old self-righteous attitude. Oh, there is a danger in self-righteousness. It's when we go farther than God really wants us to go. No, I cannot lose something that does not belong to me. My salvation belongeth to God according to the Bible. The Bible always reminds me that I've got to be careful that I do not overstep the line. I must remember what Isaiah said. All my righteousness is as filthy rags and a stink in the nostrils of an almighty God. You see, it is not built around who I am. It's all built around who God is. Self-righteousness is a religious-oriented order. It is built around who am I, my position in God's world, and what am I. Paul said, I become all things for Christ's sake. I have been crucified, nevertheless I live, not I that live, but Christ that liveth within me. In Acts 24 and 25, Paul set out to preach to Felix and Drusilla. And when he preached to them, about the righteousness and the judgment of God. And today, that is the old-time message. You see, righteousness, are you always right? No, but I am seldom wrong. Because, you see, your righteousness is not acceptable to God. You're wrong, sir. Your sinful nature is all wrong. The Bible said we have all sinned. We have all come short to the glory of God. And another scripture that relates to that is, there is none good, no, not one. Are we always right again? No, I'm only seldom wrong. And also he speaks to them about self-control, sin conduct is a dishonor to God. And sin is on the rampage. Yes, sin is dominant. The Bible said sin cannot have dominion over you. And today, many are not ruled by God, but they're ruled by their own thoughts of imagination. If they see it, they like it, they take of it, so therefore it must be right. No wonder we're not condemned any longer, because Paul said, there is now no condemnation to them that are in Christ. No, I was a sinner, and now I'm a saint. Yes, I have sinned against God, but now I have been forgiven. I have not been made right in my eyes, but I have been made right in the eyes of God. But you see, sir, if God said it, I believe it. And that's good enough for me. He said if I would confess it, He would forgive it. I confessed my sin. And then the songwriter was moved by the pen as God moved across the heart. And he said the old account was large. It was growing every day. I was always sinning. I never stopped to pay. But then I went unto the Maker, and I settled it a long time ago. And now when I stand before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and the books will be open, and the old account will be settled. And, sir, once God has once God has forgiven you, then your sins have been forgiven. I stood in a church many, many years ago, back in the beginning of my ministry. I preached a sermon. I spoke about how that God would take my sin and cast him in the sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered again. I was met at the back door by a great theologian. This man was a dean of a great college in Florida. He said to me, "Young man, have you ever thought about going to school?" I said, "Sir, I'm raising a family. I cannot afford to go to school." I asked him the question. I said, "Why are you asking me about going to school anyhow?" He said, "You misquoted Scripture. You need to know the Scripture more thoroughly." Well, I'm guilty of that. I'll tell you that myself. I am guilty sometime of misquoting Scripture. But I said back to the man, I said, "Sir, what Scripture did I misquote?" He said, "Well, you stated that God would cast your sins into the sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered again." I said, "Yes, sir, that's right." He said, "That's not exactly the way the Scripture reads." Well, he's got me where he wants me. I looked the man square in the eye. I said, "Sir, if that is not what it is, then what does it say?" He said, "He will cast your sins as far as the east is the east and the west is the west." I looked at him firmly in the face. I said, "Sir, thank God it's farther than I ever really realized. And today, sir, think about it. You have been forgiven. Sins have been forgiven. They've been placed under the blood of Jesus Christ. There is now no condemnation to them that are in Christ. You have been forgiven. You are now a candidate for heaven. Your home is not this world. You're just a passing through. Your treasures, they're laid up somewhere beyond the blue." You see, Jesus in John 14 said, "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, and I will receive you to where I am. There you may be also." Remind the devil, no, I'm not a nobody going no place. I'm a somebody going someplace. I'm on my way to heaven, and the journey is getting sweeter every day.
Lead all the cities, I'm so coming down. I'm God out of heaven. The walls are of jasper, the gates are of gold, the streets of pure gold. He tells of a pure river of life that flows from the throne. And when we have reached that beautiful place, we're known as the stone. Let's meet by the river over on that beautiful shore. Let's meet by the river where love once dwelt, who's gone on before. If you leave here first, just wait by the river. If I leave you here, that's where you'll find me. Let's meet by the river over on that beautiful shore. If you leave me standing here on this earth, just way by the river. It's such a good place for us to meet over there. And after I find you, let's go see Jesus. Then let's go find our dad and mother. Let's meet by the river over on that beautiful shore. Let's meet by the river over on that beautiful shore. Let's meet by the river where loved ones dwell who've gone on before. If you leave here first, just wait by the river. If I leave you here, that's where you'll find me. Let's meet by the river over on that beautiful shore.
The world seems cold and your friends seem few, there is someone who cares for you. When you've tears in your eyes, your heart bleeds inside, there is someone who cares for you. Someone to care, someone to share all your troubles like no other can do.
Are you looking for somebody that cares? Well, no one ever cares for you like Jesus. My dad's favorite song was, "No one ever cares for me like Jesus." And Jesus cares. He cares about your welfare. He cares about your health. He cares about you. And I recommend him to you this morning. Father, we bring these to you. We bring them to you because we don't know who's praying, who is seeking, who is searching for the truth. But we have presented the truth this morning, the truth of the gospel. There is something truly we can believe in. That something is truly Jesus Christ. He will give people something to believe in. And we're trusting today that we can lead them to you, that we can bring them to you and put them in your hands, because you said that he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast him out. So, neighbor, he cares about you. Why don't you turn to him today for your families, your finances, whatever your need is, because he cares for you. I want you to listen to this song, Someone Who Cares.
You come down from the sky, brush the tears from your eyes, the dearest shine, and he cares. There'll be someone who'll be a friend to you.
Well, I consider you my friend, and I'm so glad to call you my friend this morning. Thank you for helping me to maintain the broadcast. Thank you for your support, your financial support, just a letter of encouragement, a way of saying you appreciate me. And you appreciate the radio ministry that we present to you each Sunday morning here at 7 a.m. Well, we're thinking about you. We're praying for you. Will you pray for us? Goodbye. Be good. And may God bless you and yours. That is my humble prayer.
Something to Believe In with Reverend Tommy Mounts returns next week at the same time. It's Tommy's sincere desire that today's program has brought encouragement and blessing.